Forever Dog.
Time to use the evil again. This week on the podcast, Diane Ho's Nightmare Hall, Book of Horrors. Hello, welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaitai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And today we are talking about another Nightmare Hall. This one is Book of Horrors by Diane Ho. Really stupid. Really bad and stupid.
The second the book started and it was with these fucking freaks in the fan club, I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever... And I know that we're freaks in a fan club, right?
That's true. But
we're not that dorky. I'm sorry. And I know that we sometimes read excerpts of books, but like...
They're all delusional children.
Yeah.
Like I mean, Reed is somewhat normal in that she wants to work for... All right. Do you want to read the back of the book before we get too far?
I will read the back of the book. Reed would die to work for Victoria McCoy, and she may get the chance to do just that. Reed Monroe chose Salem University for one, the opportunity to study with Victoria McCoy, writer in residence and best-selling author of horror fiction. But then there's no two, so don't worry about it. When she learns that a lingering illness is preventing McCoy from teaching any classes, Reed starts a fan club for other McCoy obsessives. Although it only attracts a few members, the club is her passion until she hears about the opportunity of a Victoria McCoy. Wow. This is really poorly written.
Do you want me to read the back of the book that is on the actual book?
Yeah, please. Okay. Because
I think an AI wrote this.
Because no, listen, the club is her passion until she hears about the opportunity of a Victoria McCoy is hiring a new assistant. It's a job that any horror fan would kill for. After she's hired, Reed learns that the position was open because the last assistant disappeared, and every one of McCoy's employees has vanished mysteriously to survive freshman year. Reed must confront the possibility that her idol might be a murderer.
This one is much better. I'll read this one.
Okay. All right.
Horror book author Victoria McCoy, the new Salem writer in residence, she's not new, that's a lie, knows how to make horror come to life. So Reed is thrilled when McCoy hires her as her new assistant, until she finds out that McCoy's previous assistants have all disappeared. Then, frightening things start happening to Reed, things straight out of McCoy's famous horror books, and McCoy's next tale of terror has an ending worse than Reed's worst nightmare.
So, first things first, Reed has this, like, boyfriend guy
who she hates. We've got another my boyfriend slash crush.
Yes, she hates him. It's Link,
short for Lincoln. And
there's like a whole group of their little group of
she
fans
also hates every one of the people in the fan club.
Yeah,
I don't know why she continues with it.
No, so she hates,
she's not having a good time. There's Lilith,
Jude.
And
Deborah. And then her.
And her. And then she's got a roommate
named
Trish.
And it's the saddest fucking... She doesn't matter.
She likes Trish. Really, she and Trish seem to be actually friends.
Yeah. But Trish has no... There's no consequences of Trish existing, really. Sorry, I'm like fucking with my hair because...
Kelly tried a barrette before we started.
I tried a barrette,
and
it looked ugly as fuck, and then it ripped out for my hips. So
it didn't look ugly. It did make you look like a 12-year-old, or like you were in arrested development, and like you were like a grown woman who like was still dressing like a childish.
Yeah. So I was like, I really don't. It's this barrette. And for people like that don't have video, it's like the kind that like pops closed and then pops open. Mm-hmm. It's like metal, and it's the kind that always rips your fucking hair out. So I really don't know why I bought literally like 50 of them in a pack.
I'm also surprised that you bought ones with like a pattern on it. I know. Because I have those, but they're just black.
Well, these were briefly popular a couple years ago.
Oh.
Where you would like center part and then you would clip.
Right.
them. And so I was like, I'm going to do that. And then I tried it once and it ripped out my hair. And then I just had this clip up here and now in my attic.
Here we are, and it's done it again.
And I did it again.
Wow.
Fuck.
It's like you and Reed are having such a hard time sitting at desks.
Reed. Okay. Reed. So Reed finds out from Link. He's like, hey, guess what? I heard that like the guy that was the assistant to Victoria McCoy, the writer that all of you freaks are obsessed with.
And that I am reading because I'm obsessed with you.
Yeah. But you don't like me.
But you clearly don't like me. And I am too in love with myself to notice.
Yes. So, but I heard that he like freaked out and disappeared. So that means there's an opening and you should take the job. And she's like, oh my God, okay. I'm going to go there first thing tomorrow morning. Also, just like her hemming and hawing about like going that night versus going the next day. I was like, why are we even talking about this?
Obviously, you would go during the day. It's
like,
a job.
Why are we even?
You're already not applying to the job through normal channels. Why would you go to this woman's house at like 8 p.m.? Don't do that.
Well, also, like, why even mention it? Because you're not going to do it. So why even, like, why did we have, like, four paragraphs of her being like, do I go tonight? No, she's, like, so private. Like, what if I, like, scare her off? So I'll go in the morning. And then, like,
page count.
The next chapter is like, I'm going in the morning. And I'm like, yeah, duh, you're going in the morning. Yeah, page count. It feels like a page count situation. I mean, much of this book feels like a page count situation, if we're being real.
And we want to really get down to brass tacks.
Sorry, that voice is just very funny to me. Well, I'm thinking back to when I was a little kid and I was home alone and this like call came in and it went to voicemail because I didn't want to pick it up. Mm-hmm. And it was like a guy that was like, I'm looking for Mark Nugent. And I was like really scared. And my dad was like on vacation, or he was not on vacation. He was on a business trip.
Uh-huh.
So when he came back, I was like, Dad, a really scary guy called. But it turned out he had his entire larynx removed or something.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's embarrassing for you.
It is. And I was being ableist as a 7-year-old for being scared of a guy's voice.
You were 7.
It was really scary. That moment that it happened, it was scary.
You were 7 yeah. And you didn't know.
And I was alone. Mm-hmm. Like, couldn't even, like, ask my mom about it. Like, she was doing something, I don't know, volunteering or something. Anywho. So
Reed wastes our time by wondering if she should do an inappropriate drop in to a woman's house asking to be her assistant. She doesn't. She waits till the next day. The other people in the group, so like, I think they all want to be writers, or her theory is like Lilith just wants
to. Deborah doesn't want to
marry, or is it Deborah wants to like marry a writer?
No, Lilith, because she's the slut.
Okay, Lilith wants to marry a rich guy so that she can be a writer.
She can be a writer.
Lilith is also kind of trying to get to with Link. She's flirting with Link.
She's trying to get with anybody.
A guy thinks that his stuff is so impressive that he immediately tries to get Reed to hand his manuscript to Victoria McCoy. That is not how it works.
No.
That you don't go like she, rightly her son later is like, she's not an editor. She's a writer herself. She's not like looking to discover new talent. Like, what are you doing?
It's like those people that went to the writer strikes with their scripts.
Ugh. Don't do that.
Yep. They went to SAG strikes too with their scripts.
Don't do
that. Very weird. They're So he also wears trench coats all the time because he's a horror writer.
I do like as soon as she gets the job, she's like, I'm going to start dressing in all black. And finally, these chunky silver earrings that my brother got me go with something.
I know. And then when she decides she's like not going to do that anymore, she's like, no black today. I'm going to wear a red shirt. I was like, okay.
All right. That'll save you.
Her thoughts of like, am I really that dark are like.
Well, her fear, she's like, I'm afraid I don't have a dark side. And then later, so she starts off that way. And then later, she starts being like, oh, it is kind of like cool that this scary thing happened. She's like, oh my God, am I like a serial killer now?
I know. But also,
I'm
like,
so
her
fucked up.
Her, yeah, her dark thoughts, like, remind me of, like, I am not going to say who did this because they're otherwise a nice person. I don't know how to, I'll paraphrase. Which is you. No, this person posted some pictures of themselves. And I'm going
to. Can't remain to be seen whether it's me.
Yeah, I'm gonna use syllables just because it's like, I think this person is a nice person otherwise. But like posted some pictures of themselves that they took of themselves. And she was like, I gave away
a selfie.
She's like advertising that she like does headshots. But like, I didn't know that she was advertising that until I read the caption. Like, I thought they were just like selfies. But she's like, swipe to the end for me being like crazy. And then the last picture is just her like sticking her tongue out, like, and I was like, oh man. I was like, that's
you
not
got to
really.
It, you were like, ah!
Yeah, I literally threw my phone in the fucking trash because I was so scared. Mm-hmm. And I threw up for 5 hours straight because I was so scared.
Like, she's, and then I called a mental institution. What is that?
It just,
what do you, I know, like, in the UK, you can, like, have somebody committed, and it's called, like, a...
Oh. You can only do that if someone is a danger to themselves
or something like that, or, like, what is it called when you try to get somebody committed?
Oh, like the 72-hour thing?
I'm gonna Google that.
How to get somebody committed.
Yeah.
Googling.
Great on my record. What is it called when you try to get someone committed? In California, the civil commitment process.
It's like, for some reason, I'm thinking it's called like a 72-hour thing. How do you get someone committed in California?
5150, that's what I'm thinking of.
5150. Mm-hmm.
5150 is the number of the section of the Welfare and Institutions Code, which allows an adult who's experiencing a mental health crisis to be involuntarily detained for a 72-hour psychiatric hospitalization. Yeah, 5150.
Yeah, I knew it was 72 hours. But yeah, I almost called one on her because like that picture was so crazy.
It was so crazy.
It was just, and honestly, I think the face that I made was like more crazy than what was happening. Like,
scroll to the end. Sorry, anybody who's not watching the video for this, but scroll to the end for me being crazy, and you get there, and she's going like,
she literally just like, okay, it was like this.
A wink and like a little bit of tongue.
It was like, I think it was that. What I just did. So it's like a smile, open mouth smile.
Kelly,
like,
you have to, in the chat, tell me who this is. I have to see this video.
Do you remember the last time we did this and you guessed who the person
yeah,
was?
Yeah, I can't guess. I think I don't know this person. That's my guess.
I don't think you know this person. This person's not famous. They're a very nice person. I think. Are people going to like do the like clickety clackities and be like, oh, I triangulated who it was?
Do you have another, text me.
I just chatted it to you.
Oh, I know who that is.
Just look at it.
Okay.
It's, and this is so mean. It's like us just like talking shit
it
about this
mean.
Person.
And I love this
a
person.
A nice person. Me too. I like this person, but like.
We swore we weren't going to do anything that we ever had to edit out now that we're doing video.
I know.
And yet
but
here we
I
are.
Honestly think I'm fine leaving this because this is a nice person. It's just like. I personally was like, what the hell? But it just reminds me of like that meme that's like, love her, she's so crazy. And it's like a girl in the freezer aisle with like frozen broccoli on her head. This is how the feeling that I was getting from the quote, dark thoughts.
Okay.
That
I see. I see both sides now. It's not that crazy of a photo, but I understand why that was the case. I understand why.
I don't know. I guess
I'm on your side.
Yes, I know.
I understand.
The logic.
Here's what I think was going on. She wanted to post a silly photo.
Yeah.
She knows it's not such a crazy expression, but she doesn't want people thinking that she thought that was like
a normal
good photo.
Pose.
And so
but
she was just like, look, I know what I look like here. She's like trying to
prevent
be any
aware.
Bullying. Mm-hmm. Trying to prevent anyone from like saying anything about the photo, like
from, like,
insult
talking
yourself
about it on a
before
podcast.
You can, before somebody else can. So I, but like, no, it is, it's not that wild of a.
But face. I just thought of that yes. every time Reed was like, my thoughts are so dark. And I was like, they're not so that dark. Like,
I guess I do have a dark side.
But yeah, like, when she's like, am I the like, killer?
That she keeps the job.
And or that like, she, yeah, that kind she of keeps
excited
going.
By. I was going to say she's kind of excited by like the spooky things that are happening, but the spooky things that are happening are like a bird attacks her, and like a bird has attacked me in public trying to take my hair to build its nest, presumably.
To build its nest?
Because scary. I like has that ever happened to you? You have very dark hair. We've talked about this before, but I can't remember if it's happened to you.
No, I've never had a bird
attack
my head.
I've had multiple birds dive.
What the hell?
Dive like bomb me. Taking some of my hair with them. It happened at Fashion Island Mall when I was in college in Newport Beach.
Oh, my God.
And so, like, yeah, sometimes a bird will just, like, swoop down and do something weird. It's not that great. And also, she knows the bird.
She knows
and so,
the bird.
And he's like, oh, Poe thought you were me, and he was just, like, going to land on your shoulder. He actually wasn't attacking you. You just, like,
so it, yeah, that was
out.
The thing. It didn't even attack her.
So, like,
so on top of
and
that.
And then, like, a bookshelf falls. And yeah. she's like, but the bronze statue of the bird on top of the bookshelf moved first. And it's because, like,
I know.
He had a fishing line attached to
like
the bird and
it.
Was, like, pulling it. And then that like, logistically, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't mean the bird was attacking first. That just means it was coming down with the bookshelf. Because the bird had to be attached to the bookshelf to bring down the bookshelf with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's stupid. Reed. Oh, and she like falls in a well. Like, I'm sorry.
That was crazy. Actually, the falling in the well.
Watch your step.
Was
then. it's horrible, but it's not like a dark, scary.
Well, it
thing.
Was a small well. Spooky. It was
it's
a small well.
That's like horrifying and really scary. Like, yeah. like because you can be seriously hurt.
Yeah, or trapped.
But it's not
or...
like, oh, spooky.
I know. And her also being like, she's like, I'm so dark because. Well, first she's like, I guess I am dark because I like these books. And I was like, I'm not with you on that
fucking
one,
Reed. And then she's like, Stephen King and everyone listens to, I mean, I know this is a modern thing, but like true crime.
No, but true crime has always been something that humans have been interested in. Like people like would go to crime scenes and try and steal shit from
people used to attend
scenes.
Hangings.
Yeah. It like dark interests like that have always been a thing. But
I was going to say podcasts. That's what I stopped myself from saying. I was going to say true crime podcasts.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that is modern because those didn't exist before. But I mean, people have always been interested. Whatever.
Yeah. So she's but extremely normal. She's extremely
she's very
normal.
But then she goes, she's like, oh, but then also maybe I'm also dark because like my boss is scary. Because her boss, I'm sorry, her boss is
It is genuinely,
scary.
Like, really...
I would feel scared
yeah,
if it's just me and her.
Because she keeps, like, being, like, really short and yelling at her. And then, like, a switch will happen and she'll forget what they were even just saying. And she'll
be so
super
nice
and very, like, normal and, like, a good boss again. And that is, like, very disorienting and...
yeah. I mean, especially with just
off-putting.
You and her.
Yeah.
So that part annoyed me, too, that, like, that doesn't get resolved at all because it's like, oh, ta-da, it turns out, spoiler alert, guys, she has a son named Edgar Allan Raintree, which I burst out laughing at that name.
He goes
he's
by
doing
Rain.
It.
Yeah. It's like, and of course he's doing it. Why aren't the
of
cops, like, more on this guy?
But I
also,
so it's like,
fucking,
okay, so it was him.
This assistant disappeared. In a line of assistants disappearing, one of whom they know died.
Yeah.
And they didn't check the house.
I know.
They didn't get a warrant and search the house. Nobody called the cops saying, like, because everybody's like, oh, he left school. He never returned home. Mm-hmm. What are his parents doing?
I know.
Or did his parents report him missing? Why hasn't anyone reported this guy missing? Why aren't there cops crawling the grounds? All the time. Mm-mm.
And the thing that annoyed me about everything in this book was that, like, so she's like, wow, everything's okay at the end. But I'm like, no, but like your boss still acted really scary and weird to you. Like,
well, she did have a nervous breakdown. She, like, in the past, clearly is experiencing page, yeah. some sort of, like, dementia.
Yes, and her son is gaslighting her.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say. And her son has been gaslighting her, but she is actually unwell.
She is unwell. She is unwell.
She is unwell. She is, she's paranoid because her son has been gaslighting her, but that doesn't explain the breaks in, like, memory and
reality
and, and personality shifts, because she'll go from, like, really, really mean,
so mean, like screaming, like, threatening, so getting in her face. Nice. Yeah. And, like, so warm that that feels really weird and fake, too. Like, she'll go from, like, you're just like all the others. You,
you want, like,
you're stealing from me.
Yeah.
You're betraying me just like all the others. And then literally snap, she changes and she's like, oh, it'll be so nice to have everyone here. I'll make cookies. And I was like, you just don't seem like the type to fucking make cookies. This doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like,
this character
is not the same person. No. So Reed is being abused by her
boss.
Maybe
she has a brain tumor.
She might. She might. You know what? She might. Because, well, also, but then I don't understand how.
Because that can result in, like, changes in personality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I think dementia can too, because, like, you get really freaked out and I'm afraid. And
what's weird though is that, like, the bird will be like, danger, and then
alert,
she snaps
alert.
Back.
It's think almost the bird, like, was trained the bird as a service animal.
Yeah,
that's what, like, I alerting. Thought was going on. Is because, like, the bird would say alert, and then she'd switch back. And so I think the bird was, like, meant to be some sort of, like, safeguard, or, like, helps her, like jolts her back into reality or something. I don't know how you train a fucking Mina bird to do that, but
I don't know. They're pretty smart. They can speak, as we see in the book.
Yeah, it turns out her son just wants his mom's money, and so. But, like, if I loved the setup that if she dies, he doesn't get it. It all goes to charity. So he has to, like,
keep
her
alive.
But he has to be the executor of her estate.
Yeah. He wants to be her, like, legal custodian. Mm-hmm. So he has to, like, make her crazy.
So he's like, he wants to call a 5150 in on his mom.
Mm-hmm. I also laughed, too. This was the other thing where he's like, oh, but that girl drowning, like, literally, that was not me.
That was really funny that
I was like, oh, I guess,
like,
it wasn't.
He was like, I was trying to kill her, but in the end, she killed herself.
She tripped and fell on
bad choices. Like, I was chasing her down. Would I have, like, imprisoned her? Yes. But instead, she drove off a cliff.
Yeah. Or, like, it was that she tripped and fell and hit her head on a rock.
Yeah. And then, like, drowned
in the struggle.
Stream.
So I was like, bro, she wouldn't have tripped and fallen and tripped and fell and banged her head on a freaking rock.
So, like,
had
you
not
kind
been
of still kill her.
Like, yeah. And then
he was like, it was really annoying that she died.
Yeah.
He was like, I had other plans.
So he wants to make mom crazy so he can have all this money. So he has this whole plan. Also, he's, like, romancing Reed.
I did really love that he's romancing Reed, but does not love her. He could care less. He loved the girl who died.
Yeah. He's like, actually, I did love her.
That's how she knew what he was up to, is because he, like, made the wrong decision in, like, telling her his plan.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that she'd be, like, excited about all the money he was going to be coming into.
And she tried to do the thing that we say. She tried. She was like, I love that, babe.
Oh, my God.
I'm so thirsty thinking about it.
I'm just
a
little bit parched.
Can you get me some water? Because, like, I'm just so excited about our plan together. I just, like,
oh my God. The idea of running away makes me so happy and thirsty.
And then he's like, okay, babe. And she runs away. Unfortunately, I mean, that's the thing. You can't control if you're going to trip on a rock.
You can. You can try. But if a rock is in your path, you can't avoid every rock.
It is what it is. Although he was like, she would have been fine if she ran toward the faculty row and said she went further into the woods. And I was like, damn, that's, I mean, you can't, you're panicking, you're running. You've already done your really good plan of, like, babe, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
If you don't have a good, like, sense of navigation, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's
not just trying to get away.
I wouldn't know where to run.
You're not thinking. Instinctually, it's not there, and that's fine.
Yeah.
So I did feel bad.
Yeah, I don't want to victim blame, but
no.
She is a better character than Reed.
She was more cool. interested
she's
in
saying, like, let's just
I was interested let, in
can
her.
We just be her? Can we just hear about her? And then she lives.
So Reed
because
is
Reed
like,
is such a fucking drip who wants to be so like edgelordy.
She shouldn't have stayed in the job, first of all. Like the shit that she stays through, like if I fell down a well at my employer's, at my place of employment, and first of all, I'm getting a payout, babes. I'm like, oh, my back. I have such whiplash all over my whole body from falling down this crazy well. Mm-hmm. This weird small well. Like I was picturing a little tube. Like she's just like falling down this like little tube and just scraping. I was like, this is scary.
She's just like fully baby Jessica'd.
I would have been like, pay up for my silence. Because like my back hurts so bad and my voice feels so loud right now. I could just scream about what happened to me. I would get that money. But whatever, she doesn't. She stays working there like an idiot. And then a bookcase falls on her and she almost dies. Again, get that money. Because then I'd be like, wow, two things.
Wow, you should have had those anchored to the wall. I could sue. Do you have insurance for me being here as your employee? I bet.
Yeah.
I bet that you don't. And maybe there's a price for my silence about it.
Oh my God. When she tells, so she tells her.
Or maybe you do. And I need that payout.
I need that payout. When she tells her like fan group members about it. And I think it's Deborah is like, I mean, I saw those and like the wind could knock over a bookshelf. I was like, oh, the wind cannot knock over a bookshelf. What the fuck are you talking about?
I did love Reed clocking that and being like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
She's like,
why are
you
talking?
When we were there, I did notice those bookshelves and I did think to myself, like, they could be like blown over by like a little pixie breath. And I was like, yeah. Wow, so dangerous. But I didn't say anything at the time, but I would have known that that would happen. And Reed is what are you talking about? You saw those bookshelves.
Maybe it's like Lilith that says it, because I know that Lilith has been like the main antagonist to her.
True.
Time,
and she would be like extra on edge with Lilith.
Yeah. And Lilith too. It's just like she has this tone of voice all the time where she's like, that sounds like it's really hard. Wow. Maybe you should quit. Like she's such a bitch.
And she's like, it was so upsetting for you.
And then when she like openly just is hitting on Link, openly hitting on Rain, I was like, you know what? This girl wants what she wants. I would read a book about her over a book about Reed because Reed was so boring.
That's now two people we'd rather this book were about.
Honestly, I'd rather this book be about Victoria, the writer. Like her being trapped in madness by her son.
Yeah.
I'd rather read that. I'd rather read a book about Deborah, peeping Tom Deborah. Who's peeking in on the windows.
Oh, yeah, Victoria recognizes her because she's just been, like, outside the window, like, peeping in. Like, what do writers do in their houses?
Like, what is that? I'd rather read about Jude, the guy who's, like, wearing fucking
I draw the line at Jude.
Coats.
I don't care
you
about
don't,
Jude.
You don't care about Jude.
He's not a good writer. He has nothing interesting to say except, why didn't you give her my book today?
But isn't that a fun thing?
It's fun.
We liked Yellowface.
But I can't deal with being in his head the whole time.
Yeah, Jude is pretty
Jude
insufferable.
Sucks. I couldn't be with Jude. I couldn't be with Link. I could. The prologue is pretty annoying. I'm not sure.
I could not be with him. I could
I don't
not
think I could be with
Rain.
Rain
is annoying. Because he, while Reed is trying to be an edgelord, like he thinks he's an edgelord. Like he's like, I mean, I guess he is. He's murdering people. But like,
it is.
He's just very.
It is also very funny that he's like, he's doing all these things just like in cold blood. He is so, he's planning. Everything is very premeditated. He's like, what was the thing about the thing in the woods? And then it turned out it was somebody
in Jude's jacket
being like one of those used car noodle people.
Well, no, she thought that it was that. So, okay.
I don't know what it actually was. Bullshit red herring.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So it was Rain pretending to be a scary creature in the woods to freak Reed out at one point. But later Deborah, I think, borrows. Oh, yeah. I took a screenshot of this because I was like, Jude's I don't know what's jacket. Going on right now. Yeah. And the
where she's
narration,
flinging her hands around like a seal. Yes.
The narration didn't make sense for a while.
I understood what she was doing. She's like flapping her hands, but then she's just like running around.
It kept jumping.
And the scene was too long. We were there too much with her flapping her sleeves.
Weird.
But basically, so she sees this thing in the woods and she's like, fuck, this thing is so scary. Just like my dark mind. What is this? It's like a scary, flappy arm thing.
Into a mirror of my mind.
Yeah, from the twisted mind of Reed, there's this like fucked up flappy arm thing in the woods. I'm so scared. So she's running. And then later she's like, wow, Jude's jacket is making me feel freaked out and I don't know why. And then Deborah is like, hey, I'm really cold. Can I borrow your jacket? And Jude's like, fine. So he like gives her his jacket and she's like, wow, it fits you perfectly except for the sleeves. And then Deborah's like running around and playing and like flapping her hands so that the ends of the sleeves kind of like flap more. And she's like, oh my God, it was probably Deborah being a scary freak in the woods, but it was actually Rain, I guess. Like, but I don't even understand what Rain was doing. Was he just like being scary?
He was just being, I guess he was doing something similar. He like put on a big thing, a big black outfit and was like going in the woods. Like that whole section, I was like, Reed, what is your fucking problem? Like, did it somehow look like a bear to you? Like, why were you so, she was like, it's just this dark thing.
She's so freaked out about it.
And everybody's like, wow, that sounds so hard.
She was like, it's like a bat, but like big. You know what it is? It's like when Batman, before he's Batman, like sees a bat and he's like, holy fuck, that's so fucking scary. And then he's like, I'm going to be that. Because that's the scariest thing, you guys. A bat? Fuck. Imagine you're being a robber and then you see a bat.
Imagine you're anywhere and then there's a bat.
Fuck, you guys.
Fuck, so scary.
But that's like literally what she's doing. She's like, fuck this like thing. And this, like, it has like flappy arms. I mean, I would just be like, I mean, I guess I would be scared because I'd be like, what is that?
I just, like, she doesn't get across what it actually looks like in the slightest. And so I can't be scared of something I can't even, like, visualize.
It's just, like, a thing that's swooping, but not swooping, and it has flappy arms.
Get to the section. Whoever has this book checked out from the Los Angeles Public Library, if it's not you, Kelly, how dare you?
No, I read it on Open Library, babe.
God damn it. Who checked it out right now? Somebody has it checked out. And I was like, I don't think that's Kelly.
No.
How is somebody reading this exact Nightmare Hall right now?
I know. Book of Horrors specifically. Is someone on our Google sheet?
That's wild.
But yeah, she's like really scared about this bat thing. And then, so then it turns out that it really was Rain.
It like jumps. The narrative jumps in a weird way, too. It's, like, very strange. Here, is this it? Yes. The sleet was still coming down when they finally left the restaurant. They stood in the lobby.
Oh, right, because Deborah and Jude go outside.
Let me first see if I can find the section where she sees the whatever it is.
It's taking forever to load. No, that's the curse with Open Library. Is that it takes forever.
She's like, oh my God, a black thing swooped down on us. So scary. And
oh,
she's
right,
like telling people about it. And Link is like, do you think it could be Rain? And she was like, he would never. I know him. And he's like, you don't know him that well. And she's like, I do know him well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it is him though.
It is him. It's very obvious.
You
it's
don't
him.
Know him.
You
idiot.
Oh, yeah, because Rain is walking with her. And I forgot about this part. So Rain and her are leaving the house after she gets bookshelved. And I'm sorry, not Rain, Link and her. And Link's like, oh, my God, it's so dark. Like, we should get flashlights. And she's like, OK. So she goes towards the house and she hears a conversation between Rain and his mother about, like, oh, they're finding out, da 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 da. It turns out later that, like, Rain just imitates his mom's voice, and so she fell for that, like.
Which I don't believe.
I don't believe that. But then so she comes back, and she's like, I couldn't get the the flashlights because it was awkward. And so her and Link start walking, and Link falls behind because he's in sneakers, or as he calls them, sneaks, which I also call them that, so I liked that. And she's in boots, so she, like, ditches him, and then she's alone, and this is where she sees, like, this swooping thing, and then Link is like, hey, and she's like, oh my god, what the fuck, I just saw this, like, really scary bad thing, and he's like, I don't know what you're talking about, I've been trying to hike towards you. But I guess it turned out that Rain was, like, doing the voice, and then ran and got his creepy outfit and then went in the woods.
I'm trying to find the section that explains it.
That explain, or that just portrays him,
or that has the thing. Yeah. Okay. She turned to look for Link, didn't see him, called out, hey, Slowpoke, hurry up, but it was too cold to wait for him. All she wanted to do was get back to her room, bathe her sore ankle, wrap herself in a nice warm robe, and crash on her bed. She was at the very edge of the pine grove, only a few yards from Faculty Row, when she heard a noise off to her left, snow crunching underfoot. She turned her head. Something was there, something tall and black, so that it blended into the trees like a wavering shadow.
Link?
No answer. Reed peered behind her, searching the darkness for some sign of Link. How had she gotten so far ahead of him? She glanced back into the grove. The black thing moved closer. Reed quickened her steps, calling out for Link to hurry up. They were almost to Faculty Row. The black thing moved closer. It just keeps calling. She kept her eyes, trying to keep track of the shadowy figure.
It's just like swooping towards her.
And the black thing would swoop down upon her. The very second she thought that, the big black shadow moved closer, lifted its arms wide like bat wings, and swooped out from behind the trees. So he just, like, was, like, put on a little, put on a costume to cover himself, and then went, whoa.
Yeah, and she's like, holy fuck.
From the woods, and she's like, oh my god.
But that's, like, so.
And then the black thing, Reed's mouth opened deliberately in a loud, shrill scream. No! The black thing disappeared as suddenly as it had arrived between the trunk of the trees. And that's fucking it.
That's impossible.
That's all it was. And she tells everyone about this. And she's like, I don't know what it was. I thought I saw something in the grove.
And wait, everyone's like, well, that's why you stay away from the grove.
Yeah. And then she's like, she was still shaken from that awful thing in the woods. Again, that's literally all it said, is there was a tall, shadowy figure, raised its arms like a bat, and ran out. I would be freaked, but, like, why can't she describe this thing better?
I know. It's not some, like, Lovecraftian, like, unknowable.
Yeah, it is actually Rain
in a
dressed up in an outfit of some kind.
Because that's the other thing. We never learn what it is.
We
never learn what the outfit is. I don't even think he says it's him.
All right. So
that might be a lost thread.
So
she thinks it's Deborah, but we know it's not Deborah. Yeah, and she's like, oh, it must have been Rain.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. He reluctantly, Jude shrugged out of the raincoat and handed it to Deborah. Good thing I wore this sweater, he groused. Sleeves were too long for her. She laughed and flapped her hands in the air like a performing seal. Still shaking in the billowing sleeves, Deborah ran outside, sliding around the parking lot, waving her arms in the air. I thought this made them seem kind of fun. Okay. They're silly.
I was like, actually, Deborah's fun.
Yeah. And then everyone was laughing at her clowning, but Reed just stared.
She's chilled.
What she was seeing wasn't funny. What she was seeing was a figure that looked a lot like Deborah looked now, skulking around in the pine grove. So she's having, like, PTSD flashbacks to this thing. But it wasn't Deborah's raincoat. It was Jude's. Unsettled, Reed joined the group waiting in the parking lot for the small yellow shuttle bus back to campus. The feeling of isolation that Reed had felt in the restaurant intensified. Maybe she really was different from the rest of them. Maybe the only thing that held them together was the fan club. She didn't like the feeling of being separate. I'm like, what the fuck is even happening?
Her thought, so she needed to put the dots together for me too, because she was like, oh my god, the coat. She's like, seeing her be like that in Jude's coat is scaring me because it's reminding me of that. thing.
Exactly, but that's not the way it's written.
And it was Jude's coat. But then also, I'm like, so then what are you saying? Are you saying you think it was Deborah in the coat? Do you think it was someone else with Jude's coat? Like,
exactly.
What are you talking about?
She's not saying that. She's just like...
She's not.
She's just like, it says, everyone was laughing at her clowning, but Reed just stares. What she was seeing wasn't funny. What she was seeing was a figure that looked a lot like Deborah. Look now, skulking around in the pine grove. But it wasn't Deborah's raincoat. It was Jude's.
And so I'm like, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Like, can you link the thoughts, please? Because like, you're just like saying disjointed things. And then Unsettled rejoined the group. Like, but no, like they're all laughing and she feel. I'm like, what are you talking? So it took, I had to go back and reread it.
No, I didn't know what she was talking about.
To like finally get that she in her mind was just visualizing the thing.
Yeah, I was like, is it there?
I was like,
I thought.
What?
Yeah, I thought it was like, because it was like she wasn't seeing that, she was seeing that. So I was like, are they by the grove?
She's having a flashback. Flashback.
Yeah.
Like literally, she's in it.
Yeah.
Like she's a fucking war veteran or something. For, again, just rain in a coat
doing the same thing around.
So like that is the extent of it, was somebody in a coat flapping their arms.
What was he getting at?
And I would, if that Why happened to me, I would just be like, what? Like, how did she even know to be afraid? beyond the feeling of being startled. I understand being startled.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't understand is feeling like, oh my God, something's after me. Because that moment is so fucking tiny. It is so minuscule. Nothing happens.
Well, because also
that I wouldn't even necessarily connect it to other things.
Yeah.
I would just be like, whoa, that was weird.
Yeah.
I would be initially startled and then it would be gone and I'd go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
She wasn't like, attacked by the thing.
No.
It didn't keep haunting her. She wasn't actually seeing it anywhere again. She just keeps thinking about it.
Well, what confused me about it too is that she keeps saying it's swooping towards her. I'm like, how can you tell it's swooping towards you unless it's very close? And if it is very close, then you see what it is. You see that it's fucking rain in a coat.
Or at least someone in a coat. And so you know, oh, that is a person doing
being
this to
strange
me. Instead of like, there's a thing and it's like, it's like a creature from her book.
Because that's what, like, I would be... I could understand being freaked out and being like, sorry, a guy was being like really fucking weird at me in the woods and he was like swooping at me and like that was very scary. Like I could see being scared of a strange man in the woods doing weird things with a jacket at me.
Mm-hmm.
Versus if you literally can't fucking tell what it is, then it's so far away that you're just like, oh, that was really weird.
Yeah. And it if it's not like truly it like.
For it to be coming to you, you have
for
to
a second and then goes back into the wood.
Yeah.
So like it's never even as though she's being accosted by the thing. She just sees it. She just literally sees a thing.
I just don't know how she doesn't know what's
big
happening.
Deal. Exactly.
Like how do you not?
You either
really don't know and it's very far away. You're not scared.
Exactly.
Or it's here and you are scared.
And you are scared, but you know what it is.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, sorry, rain attacked me in a coat versus there was a weird thing in the woods. I don't know. Like, it was strange.
Yeah,
I'm disturbed.
You could be disturbed. Isn't threatening to you. So now I'm trying to find.
I don't know if he says that it's him. That's the thing. Maybe he does.
I'm trying to find him saying.
That's us assuming it's him because he was the bad guy.
Sunny, the girl who died. I guess she panicked. I caught up with her. We fought. She was stronger than she looked, but she slipped and fell, cracked her skull. So he was like literally in a fight with her. So he was trying to physically kill her.
Yeah.
He
was trying to kill her. She just accidentally fell. So then it's like, then you did. I'm sorry. That's just what it is.
Oh, man. I forgot how she takes Rain out.
Oh, yeah. She just bonks on
a thing.
On, like, a support beam.
She, like, knocks out the wooden beam she's standing against. And because it's, like, a load-bearing beam, the whole house comes down on
him. Falling down on him.
She, like, protects Carl with her body. Carl's the old assistant who went missing, who Rain has kept trapped in the basement just eating bread.
Yeah, and he's like starving to death. He's
been gaslighting his mom. He like keeps stealing bread from the kitchen, and she's like, "Where'd the bread go?" And he's like, "We didn't have bread this morning. I don't know what you're talking about." She's like, "I literally had toast this morning." He's like, "That was yesterday morning. I don't know what you're talking about. We're out of bread." That is literal gas, not literal gaslighting.
It is.
That is the definition. Of figurative gaslighting.
It is quintessential gaslighting.
Exactly.
It is shocking that she's not picking up on her son, though. I know that he's made her so crazy, but like, she's so paranoid except for against her son.
I'll make an anonymous call to the local militia.
What are you talking about?
So she says, "Why are you feeding him? I'm still looking for," if he says, "because he has to die very slowly while I make sure everyone on campus knows my mother is loony as a jaybird. Then, when the time is right, I'll make an anonymous call to the local militia. They'll come here." The local militia?
Bro, what are you talking about?
"I'll make an anonymous tweet to the alt-right. They'll show up with their guns."
With some "don't tread on me" flags.
"I'll tell them there's a trans family living in my basement. The local militia will arrive." Why not just the cops? I'll call the cops. The local militia.
Local militia. He's just out of it.
I love that phrasing. I love that.
I'll make an anonymous call to the local militia.
That's very funny. I'd love that on a shirt.
I'd love it on a shirt.
I'll make an anonymous call to the local militia. "They'll come here, find what's left of Carl, and be absolutely certain that McCoy is responsible. By that time, she'll be so befuddled herself, she'll think she did do it. They'll put her away for a long, long time, and I'll have my hands on all that lovely money."
Lovely money.
"You won't see me slaving for a living like McCoy. And why should I? The money is there."
But he never says that it was him.
I don't know. I'm still going through it.
He doesn't.
"Ran her down with your car." Oh, yeah. He runs over the previous assistant.
Because she comes into town. She's like, "Oh, I have to warn.
Might be some evidence on the fender," which I'll use. Yeah. Also, it didn't make any sense that Reed calls Karen What's-Her-Face first. And then every time Karen tries to call her back, that she's was like, "I can't deal with it right now."
That was annoying.
And so Karen literally has to drive there just to try to warn her. Like, poor Karen.
I know.
Okay.
I was really annoyed by that.
Here's...
Does he say it's him?
He's getting into his list of things he did. Okay, so he ran over Karen. We know that. "You took the cover off the well," Reed said, "knowing I'd fall into it. And you made the shelves fall. How? Fishing line." Fishing line? Right. "Filament. Almost invisible to the naked eye. Tied it to the beak of that grotesque statue of a raven. Pulled on it from outside the window. Brought the shelves down with it." You could have killed me, Rain. Right. Whatever.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Right. Whatever. He's like, "I don't give a shit. Right. Like, you think I fucking care?
This is so not about you."
I do love how not about her it is.
Yes, I love that. "Reed was struggling to take all of it in, but I heard you and your mother arguing."
And then he's like, it's her.
"She wasn't even in the room. You did all this for money." I think he doesn't say anything about the fucking woods. So then was it just a thing? No, it was definitely him. There's just no way. Or it was Deborah wearing Jude's coat.
She's having fun.
Around. She's like, "I love doing this every time I wear the coat."
Yeah. She's like, "I got to go run around the woods in this thing." I think he doesn't say.
And it has to be him. But it doesn't make any sense.
No. This book was dumb.
"Nothing personal, Carl." Oh, I do love this. "Can't keep you here with Carl. Your friends might come looking for you, especially that Neanderthal Link. Can't imagine what you see in him." "He's not evil," Reed shouted. "Well, maybe that's why he's so dull. Now shut up."
Yeah, I like that. He was annoying to be in his head, but like the things he was saying during his monologue and just how
he's a
much
very
he did not give a fuck
end.
About her, I was like, great. Like, he's like, "Yeah, so I had to kill her. I don't know. Like, why are you wasting my time?"
And he says, "I'm so grateful for that first breakdown of hers. So obliging of hers. That's where I got the idea, actually. I sometimes have dreams. They give me ideas, too." We never find out. Because then she brings the house down. Hilarious.
She brings the house down.
Yeah.
Dumb book.
And then their fan club is, like, completely full. Like, everybody wants to join it because of what happened. Which, like, of course they do. And then she lives in La Jolla with a companion. I like that. I like that it says that she's getting the help she needs.
Yeah, I liked that too. I like that she's back in La Jolla. She does not need to be where the fuck it's Salem. No.
Salem.
And she has a companion that helps her. Great. I love it. She's thriving. Wait, so is he dead? Did he get crushed under those rocks?
No, he's in an institution and Victoria goes to see him once a month.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good of her.
That is good of her. She's a better mom than me. I would have been like, bro, you gaslit me for years. There's no fucking way I'm ever seeing you again. Peace.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'd do if Ramona did that to me. I might still go see her.
Gaslit you every day trying to steal your money?
I don't know. It's that bond is strong, man.
And also, and here's the thing. You never know until you're there, right? You never know. Also,
because if somebody came to me, like we all joke about, like, would you go back in time and kill baby Hitler? If somebody came to me and they were like, I'm a time traveler from the future. Ramona becomes a second Hitler. Kill her. I would not.
Mm.
I would think that I could prevent it.
You could prevent it.
Yeah. I would not be able to kill her.
And then what if your actions in trying to prevent it make her super Hitler?
Exactly. What if that's what brings it about? And that's why you don't time travel. That's why you never prevent.
You can't
prevent.
Because you don't know if what you're doing is making it happen.
Exactly. And that's why if I ever get like a sick instinct about like taking a flight, my fear is that if I don't take the flight, I'll die in a car crash on the way home from the airport. I'm more afraid of dying trying to avoid dying
because you're final destinationing.
Mm-hmm.
Then the whole thing of like logs is gonna fall on you instead. Yeah,
I don't want the logs.
Yeah,
no thank you.
But I would say you don't have to read this book. It sucks.
Yeah, no, the end. Rain's speechifying at the end is very fun, but the rest of the book does not make it worth it. Reed is such a drip. She hates Link. Mm-hmm. She wants to cheat on him with Rain the entire time. And then it turns out Rain, like, does not give a shit about her, which God bless.
No, I love that. I love that he's like, there was no question that I was ever interested.
I was in love with Sunny. You were, like, if you died, like, truly whatever.
Honestly, I do like, too, that it's not just that he's just a psycho that doesn't love anyone. He did love someone else.
Yeah.
And he's like,
not her.
I just don't. He's like, you're not anything.
You're very boring. Your boyfriend is boring. No, thank you.
And I was like, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Doing the right thing.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate you. A special thank you to our Patreon listeners, patreon.com/teencreeps. You get to see our faces. You get to see us do bits.
If you were subscribed, you would have seen me nodding in response to that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you just thought there was silence, but I was nodding.
There was silence with nods. There also is like, you know, ad-free episodes, video episodes, like
so anything, much extra stuff.
Anything your heart
desires. Thank you for supporting the podcast.
So patreon.com/teencreeps. And a very special shout out to our Patreon producers who give at the $15 a month level. Thank you, Adam Howitz,
Amanda K,
Amy T,
Ann Dwyer,
Caitlin L,
Carrie H,
Casey S,
Courtney McPhail,
Danielle Lamana,
Drew Waranis,
Ellie Lagos,
Elizabeth E,
Emma M,
Erica T,
Aaron B,
Gabriella Santiago,
Gwendolyn Ludovic,
Hannah L,
Jeffrey L,
Jeremy Kronk,
Jeremy Goodfellow and Marco Pavlicic,
Jesse T,
Jessica Smith Harper,
Jessica U,
Jonathan Venable,
Kat Miller,
Keith Anderson,
Kelly Burns,
Carrie N,
Cody X Eagle,
Landry Desmond,
Larry Nguyen,
Laura Hooper,
Maddie M,
Megan Lozier,
Melanie M,
Melody,
Micah Yunus,
Miguel Camacho,
Molly G,
Molly Marks,
Noah Spargo,
Rachel C,
Randy Klett,
Rebecca Goss,
Robert F,
Rogue Kalahua,
Sarah Wallen,
Sasha Gibson,
Sylvie T,
Victoria Beck,
and Whitney E.
Danku.
Thanks, everyone. You're helping to keep us alive.
Yeah.
One more meal. We'll see everybody next week. Thanks for listening. Until then, keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.